Let's look for a minute at the Word of God. We'll spend a few minutes looking at three experiences in the Word of God, three incidents where we find groups of people who cried out to the Lord. These are accounts of people whose faith was tested. People who came to the brink of a kind of a crisis in their life and their faith. Experiences came their way which caused them to be shaken with regard to their trust in God and to wonder about God's presence and God's care for them. We sang, you know, it's so easy to trust in Jesus. It's just so sweet to trust in Jesus. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. But sometimes things happen in our lives that shake our faith a little bit. Or perhaps a lot. And that was the case with these people we're going to look at today. And as we have our faith shaken from time to time, we might begin to doubt the reality that we can take simply from the Lord life and rest and joy and peace. There are times in our lives where we feel perhaps a lack of rest or joy or peace. I know that thou art with me and wilt be with me to the end, but these individuals, these people that we're going to consider this evening, questioned whether the Lord was with them to the end. They questioned whether the Lord was really helping them. They cried out to the Lord in their despairing circumstance. I want to look at them because the reality is that as I've been thinking about these three events, I came to realize that these are things that happen in our lives from time to time. Each one of us can expect that an experience or experiences like this will happen in our lives, sometimes more than once. In fact, probably most of us will see these things more than once in our lives, each of them. The first one I'm going to call a time of thirst, dry times. Times in our life when we feel a want, we feel there's something lacking, we feel there's dryness. Another occasion we found a group of people who felt frustration in life. Things were not going as they ought to have been. And they were frustrated as they sought to live for the Lord and things weren't working out. The third group who came to a time of crisis in their life. And these happen to us. These same experiences happen. Crises arrive. Things happen in our life that come out of left field. How did this happen? Why does this happen? Where is the God of love? An experience such as this would happen in our life. And so we have these experiences, and I want to consider these three cries from groups of people who cried out to the Lord. The first of these is in Exodus chapter 17. Please look with me there. In Exodus chapter 17. I looked at this passage a little while ago, and I'm going to go back to it again. And I call this one dry times. Dry times. These people are the children of Israel, and they have left the land of Egypt, and the Lord has brought them through the Red Sea, and the Lord has brought them across safely, and he has defeated their enemies behind them, and here they come across into the wilderness area, and they're not long into their journey, and they discover that they have no water, and they're thirsty. They cry out to God. And verse 7 is kind of a summary of what happened in verses 1 to 6. Verse 7 contains this cry, and the despairing cry that they raised that time is this, the end of verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? And there are times in our lives when we experience thirst, we experience dryness. This was physical thirst in this case, but of course I'm speaking here about thirst in another sense. It takes a number of forms. We can find this happening in our lives. And when this happens in our lives, these times of dryness, it can affect our faith in God. It can affect our trust in God. And we look to Him and see, are you really there? Are you with us or not? Are you here? What about the promise of your presence? I don't feel it. My life is dry. Sometimes it happens to us in situations at work where we get just tired. Tired of the same thing, the routine, daily life. Sometimes, dare I say, it happens in our families, where we're continuing to carry on trying to live a life with our family, with rich relationships, but the routine is the same every day. We get up and it's the same kids every day. Get them off to school every day, do the same thing day after day, month after month. We begin to wonder, isn't there something more? Perhaps it's a relationship with our spouse that becomes dry. It happens in life. Happens too sometimes with our relationship with the Lord. Would you dare to admit that? Are there times in your life when you have felt spiritually dry? When the relationship that you once enjoyed was alive and vibrant with the Lord now just seems to be something in the distant past. It isn't as real as it once was. It doesn't seem as meaningful. And somehow God seems distant. These kinds of times of dryness happen in our lives from time to time. And if we're not careful, they can shake our faith, as they did with the children of Israel, when they were lacking water. And they cried out to the Lord, is the Lord among us or not? And sometimes in our lives, that's how we might feel. Questioning the presence of the Lord when we're feeling He just seems so distant and so far off. Times of dryness. Notice the characteristics of these times of dryness. Verses 1 to 6 describe the situation. Children of the congregation of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. What are the characteristics of these times of thirst? Well, there's some of them I suggest that are common to us and to the children of Israel that we can see here. One of them is this, they complained. They complained. In times of dryness in our life, we will often find that we are complaining. We're complaining about our lot. We're complaining about the situation. We're complaining about the coldness and the staleness of things. We complain. Also find that in this case they tested the Lord. It says they tempted the Lord or tested the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we can do the same thing when we feel it's dry. We cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, do something to show me you're real here. Do something to make this change. We put the Lord to the test. We say, well, I will be faithful to you if you can just make this happen or make that happen. Cause something in my life to change. They challenged the leaders, verse 2. They complained to Moses and Aaron, and that too happens in times when we are cold in our life. We begin to challenge authority. We begin to challenge what's going on. We want to change things. We want to see some change. We want to see something happen. says that they were contentious. They were contentious, argumentative, difficult. So in times of coldness in our life, we need to be aware of these dangers. These things can happen. These are signs to us that perhaps we have stepped back from the Lord and from trusting, from simply trusting Him every day. What was the reality of the situation of the children of Israel? Think of their cry. Is the Lord among us or not? What is the answer to their question? The Lord was very much among them. Yes, the Lord was with them. The problem wasn't that the Lord was not with them. The problem was that they were dry and they were thirsty and they could not see the presence of the Lord who was with them in the camp, who was guiding them day by day. The Lord turned around and gave them a great deliverance by the hand of Moses, who struck the rock and water poured forth, and their thirst was satiated. They had water, all they needed, for themselves, for their families, for their children, for their cattle. All of the concerns that they had were met. The Lord reached out and touched them. They needed to understand and realize the Lord was indeed with them, though they had doubted it. They needed to understand it. God knows our needs. God knows our hearts. And when we call out to Him, He will respond. He does respond by His grace. Prophet Isaiah has much to say about these three groups of people, and this is the verse I want to think about for those who are dry, for those who are thirsty in their life. The Lord says through Isaiah, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those who wait upon the Lord. We get impatient waiting. But the Lord instructs us to wait on the Lord. When we feel times of thirst, let's turn to the Lord. Let's look all the harder for the presence of the Lord. Let's wait upon Him. Let's be patient as He will do His work. Is the Lord among us or not? Dry times in life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. The dry times in our lives can shake us and shake our faith. The dry times in our lives might cause us to think that God is not near or that God does not care. God is not present with us. But of course He is. Crises that come our way in life can also have a similar effect. And although we certainly can, and as we can expect dry times to come our way in life, so also we can expect crises to come our way in life as well. They will happen. They usually come out of left field when we don't expect them. How did this happen? Where did this come from? Crisis of health, crisis in the family, someone passing away that we love. They take all kinds of forms. Crises happen in life, and when they do, they can shake us, and they can shake our faith. And here the disciples in Mark chapter 4 are out on the lake at the end of the chapter, and a great storm comes up, and they find themselves in crisis, and they're afraid for their lives. Let's read the account from verse 35, chapter 4. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care?" "Do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I know that there are people here who have had crises arise in their life. These disciples are out on the sea, and the storm rises, and the Lord is asleep. Through the waves and through the wind and through the noise and through the tumult and through their busy efforts to keep themselves afloat, he is sleeping. And they look about at the waves and the storm and the wind and water coming into the boat, and they're afraid for their lives. The storm has come up suddenly. We often think about this account as a metaphor for our lives, don't we? Because storms come our way in life when we don't expect them. Storms come upon us and hit hard. And they can shake us. They can shake our faith. They can shake our confidence in the Lord. And it might appear to us as the storm arises that the Lord is asleep somewhere. Because is he not seeing what's going on in my life, in our lives, in the life of ones we love? We're in trouble. There is a crisis. Perhaps you might have been inclined, I might have been inclined, in times of crisis in life to look to the Lord and say, "Do you not care? Do you not care? Because I'm struggling here." Notice some of the characteristics of this kind of situation, this crisis time that happens in our lives. First is fear, and that often drives our attitudes and our conduct and our thinking and our relationship to the Lord, fear. Because these kinds of crises have a way of stirring up fear in our lives. We're fearful about what's going to happen. We're fearful for the health of somebody that we love. We're fearful for what the future is going to hold when we lose somebody that we love. Fear. It's a characteristic that ought to be a red flag to us, to warn us. We might be in danger of slipping as these disciples did with regard to their faith in the Lord and thinking perhaps that the Lord does not care, which was of course not true. Fear. It says they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed by the situation. Their boat was being overwhelmed. The boats began to fill with water. The water was beating against the boat, and they were overwhelmed by the situation. It was more than they could handle. It was far more than they were able to deal with. It was beyond them, beyond their ability. They could not control the situation. They could not help in the situation. And so sometimes it is in the crisis of our life. It's beyond us. What are we to do? It's beyond what we can help, and we are helpless. Troubled minds, their minds were tormented by what was going on. And so in times in crisis in our lives, we might find that our mind plays tricks with us, and we began to be tormented in our minds. They had no peace, verse 39. The Lord points out to them that they doubted, they had no faith. He rebukes them for their lack of faith, and so it is when crises arrive in our lives, we begin to doubt. We might begin to doubt the ability of the Lord to deal with situations, or the concern of the Lord to come and deal with situations in our life. Does he really care about what is going on in our life? We might think that the Lord is not aware or is not concerned or is not paying attention to the crisis or the situation that has come about in our lives. And so we might question the Lord's sovereignty, or we might question whether he really loves or really cares for us. But the reality is this, that God knows our circumstance. and the Lord knew their circumstance. The Lord, though asleep, resting in the boat, nonetheless knew their circumstance. All they could see was the Lord asleep and to them unaware. But the sovereign Lord was aware. He knew their circumstance. He knows our circumstance. He knows our circumstance in times of crisis, in times of difficulty. He knows. He cares. In this case, the Lord responded by delivering them from this torment that they were facing, from this crisis. It's interesting for me as I look at Scripture to see that sometimes the Lord delivers from times of crisis. Sometimes He just carries us through those times of crisis. But in each case, He demonstrates, as He did in this case, that He does care, that He does love, that He is aware of our circumstance. So it was in their lives. They cried out, "Do you not care?" What was the answer? Yes, He cares. He cares very much. He cares for us. He loves us and cares for us. He knows our situation, and He responded. Isaiah, the prophet, writes this. Chapter 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So the word of God exhorts us in those times of crisis to keep your mind upon the Lord. Keep your mind fixed on Him, stayed on Him. He does care for you. Stay focused on the Lord and continue to maintain your trust in the Lord. Don't allow doubts to assail you in times of crisis. So there are times in our lives, dry times in our lives that might shake our faith, and there are times of crisis in our lives that might shake our faith. But I want you to go back to Psalm chapter 44. Psalm 44, I'm going to look at a third cry from a group of people who couldn't understand what was going on in the world around them. They were frustrated. Frustrated as they looked at all that was going on. They saw the wicked. Supposedly, the wicked seemed to be prospering. And they felt they were following the Lord, and yet they were struggling. The enemies were prevailing. And it didn't make sense. And they were frustrated. Verse 24 of Psalm 44, this is their cry. "Why do you hide your face? Why do you hide your face?" They felt as if the Lord was looking somewhere else and hiding His face from them. They felt the Lord was not giving attention to their situation, that He was allowing things that ought not to take place to take place. And they were struggling with it. As you read the psalm, we find a little more about their situation. It's a little more spelled out for us. Let's just look at a few verses. The beginning of the psalm explains how they had seen the Lord's work in the life of the children of Israel in days past, and how the Lord had blessed them. "We have heard," verse 1, "with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds that you did in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them, your fathers, you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they, our fathers, did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did they their own arm save them, but it was your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." They look back on the days of old and they say, "We know the Lord did great things for us in the past. The Lord did great things for our nation, for our people in the past, in the past, in the past. But now, it's different." Verse 9, "You have cast us off and put us to shame. You do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations." Verse 13, "You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to all those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me, because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. And so they look around and they see that the enemies seem to be doing well, and then the people of God are suffering, and things are not going as they should. They're not going as they ought. What happened to the promise of the Lord's presence? Why has the Lord turned his face from us? Doesn't he see us anymore? They cry out to the Lord, "Why do you hide your face?" These types of frustration happen too in our lives. Sometimes we look around and we see that things are hard for the people of God, and yet the wicked seem to prosper. This has been an age-old dilemma, isn't it? Down through the ages, people have wondered about the prosperity of the wicked. Why is it that it seems that they seem to be blessed? They seem to do well. And those who seek to serve the Lord, sometimes they suffer frustration. We begin to feel that things are not going according to plan, but what we fail to understand is that they're really just not going according to our plan. It's our plan, maybe. These people felt that God was distant. Verse 23 says, "Wake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever." They felt the Lord was far away. They felt forgotten by God. "Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression?" They felt that they were cast off. They were beaten down, verse 25. "For our soul is bowed down to the dust and our body clings to the ground." They feel beaten down. Make matters worse, these people felt that it was not making any sense because they thought they were being faithful to the Lord. Verse 17. "All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way." Are there times in your life when you think you are trying to be faithful to the Lord, but things still aren't working out? Those times can shake us in our faith. Times of frustration in our lives. They can shake our faith, as they did these people who wrote these words. We believe that sometimes we look at situations like this, that common sense is not being respected somehow. We question why God's plans and purposes don't appear to be working out. The reality is that God knows our circumstance. God knows the situation. God's plans will not be thwarted. The reality is that these people didn't see that the record of Scripture, their history, written by the sons of Korah, the history of the children of Israel, is a history of God intervening in the situation to aid them and help them in every turn. Children of Israel continually rebelled against God. God continually reached down and delivered them when they cried out to him. Time after time after time, God reached down to bail them out, to use the vernacular, to deliver them from times of trouble. God continued to be faithful to them. I'm interested to see, as I read through this, the account of the Old Testament scriptures, the children of Israel, how often, even in times when a king would come who was good in the eyes of the Lord and the kingdom of Judah, the people still failed to respond to the leadership of the king and continued in their sin. The prophets point this out, actually, frequently. Even when there are good kings on the throne who seek to bring the people to God, often the people aren't responding and continue on in their sin. These people thought, "We're doing all right before the Lord," but the record of Scripture shows that they were unfaithful. You know, it's the same in our own lives, dare I say. although we feel we're trying to be faithful to the Lord, there are often things in our lives that aren't right, and we could find them if we just scratch the surface a little bit. God isn't trying to punish us for our sins, but we deceive ourselves if we think that we are doing everything right, and so why is God treating us in this way? Maybe we need to evaluate our lives a little bit and see what God is trying to do in our life. One thing we need to understand is that God's ways are not our ways. Turn again to the prophet Isaiah, not to turn to the passage, but in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9, the prophet says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We think that it's not making sense to us. We can't understand it. We're frustrated because things aren't going the way we think they ought to go. Our ways are not God's ways. Let's put our faith and trust in the Lord and understand that He is in control of all circumstances. He knows what's going on. He sees. He will be with us in these times of trouble, these times of difficulty. Three cries from people who were frustrated and found things difficult along the way. Three cries of peoples whose faith was shaken. Is the Lord among us or not? Lord, do you not care? Why do you turn your face from us? Three cries from people of the Lord. And we can see in each case that the Lord is in the midst of them. The Lord is with us. The Lord does care. The Lord does not turn His face from us. I want to close by reminding you of three more cries. Three cries from someone whose heart was hurting. Our Lord Jesus Christ. First cry I want to remind you is recorded in John 19 and verse 28. It is just two words. "I thirst," the Lord cried. "I thirst." We sometimes feel the Lord does not care. I don't know what the Lord felt when He was in the garden. But I'm reminded of this cry from my Lord. Matthew 26, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." The Lord does not turn His face from us. But as our Lord hung on the cross, this was His cry. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Lord reached down and provided relief for all of these accounts that we read. Of each one of these, the Lord reached down and provided sustenance and help and deliverance and comfort and encouragement. For our Lord, there was no relief. When He cried out, there was no deliverance for Him. No relief for our Lord. Our deliverance is possible in all of these circumstances only because His was not. And so we can be grateful to our Savior, to our Lord. He cares for us. He is with us. He looks down upon us in all our circumstances. And all of this blessing we have because of what the Lord did on the cross, where He did find no relief when He cried out to God. Father, we thank You for these lessons from Your Word and for the examples that You give us in Scripture of people who cried out to the Lord, we recognize that there is a weakness in faith so often in the lives of many that we read out in Scripture, and we recognize that there is often a weakness in faith in our own lives, in our own experiences. We pray that you'd help us to learn from these and to understand and to know when we face situations like this in life that you do care, that you do love us, that you do reach out to us, that you are present with us, and that you shine down with your love and your face and your smile upon us at all times. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us so that we can enjoy the blessing of fellowship with you. We might know your love and your care for us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.